Germany unleashes its toughest COVID-19 lockdown restrictions to date as questions about vaccines continue to swirl. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Let's start with shares of AstraZeneca, which fell more than 1% here in London before recovering slightly. That's after the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases said this morning a monitoring board was concerned the company included outdated information from its coronavirus vaccine trial that, it said, might have given an incomplete picture of the shot's efficacy. And it's thrown into question data published yesterday that showed AstraZeneca's coronavirus vaccine is nearly 80% effective at stopping symptomatic cases of the virus. The company hasn't yet responded to those concerns, which come amid continued challenges in rolling out wide-scale vaccine programs. Now a third wave of the virus has taken hold in Europe, where nations including Italy and France are already under stricter restrictions. After late-night talks in Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel and regional leaders have agreed to impose harsher restrictions there for 3 weeks as the country races to vaccinate its population. The BBC's Damian McGuinness has more from Berlin.
Until recently, there were hopes here that the lockdown would soon start to ease. But instead, after more than 11 hours of fractious negotiations with regional leaders, Angela Merkel's government has agreed the toughest restrictions Germany has seen so far in the pandemic. The current lockdown measures will be extended until April the 18th, and regions with higher infection rates will have stricter measures, such as a curfew. Over Easter, the country will shut down completely. For most of that time, even food shops will be closed.
That's Damian McGuinness in Berlin there, checking the numbers now. Germany's DAX is leading declines on key benchmarks across Europe. It's down about 0.4% this morning. Meanwhile, trading on Turkey's main share index was halted twice today. It shed 7%, adding to yesterday's declines. That's after the country's president fired the central bank chief, who had been in the job for just 4 months. Meanwhile, shares of Chinese internet giant Baidu edged up 0.8% in its secondary listing today on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. The gains paled in comparison to ones by other Chinese tech giants, including Kuaishou, which surged more than 190% last month. Such listings have been dubbed homecomings for Chinese companies that also trade on U.S. stock exchanges. David Kuo, co-founder of The Smart Investor, explains why investors gave Baidu such a muted reception in Hong Kong.
Why is Baidu even going to Hong Kong in the first place? It's already got over $24 billion in the bank. So why is it going to Hong Kong just to raise $3 billion? And that, I think, is the question that investors are asking.
It's not the only technology stock that has seen sort of a lackluster performance. I think JD.com saw a bigger rise than Baidu did today, but still not anywhere near what we're used to seeing in initial public offerings. Do you think this is a problem of an oversaturated market of these so-called homecomings for Chinese companies?
I think it's also partly because investors have got their eyes on possible interest rate rises, and consequently, they are saying that technology companies are not really sort of the place to be right now. Ultimately, when you have a look at some of these technology companies, particularly the ones that already have a primary listing in America, they are coming home to Hong Kong. And part of that reason is because they are very concerned about the frosty relationship between America and China. And if that frosty relationship turns into a big freeze, then of course they want to have some way in which they can still have a listing where they can attract Chinese investors.
David Kuo, co-founder of The Smart Investor in Singapore. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you.
To India now, where about 20 million motorcycles are sold every year. A majority of them run on gas, but rising fuel prices and pollution levels have prompted many people to switch to electric-powered scooters instead. The BBC's Arunade Mukherjee has that story from the nation's capital, New Delhi.
The heavy traffic on India's roads has forced the country to wage a constant battle against rising pollution levels. The toxic air, leaving 1.7 million Indians dead in 2019, as per a Lancet report. As he walks to his electric scooter parked below his house, 27-year-old software professional Karthik Balakrishnan in the Indian city of Bengaluru says his generation can help fix this. He's been using an electric scooter for a little over 2 years now. Unlike earlier models, this one is faster, he says, futuristic, and Karthik is loving it. He tells me it would be nice, though, to go on longer drives.
When you leave home, you tend to always be conscious of how much range you have, because it's not very easy to simply top up at a petrol station and continue. So you have to plan your trips a little better.
Priced at around $1,500, Karthik's scooter is one of thousands being sold by Aether Energy. It's a busy day at the manufacturing plant as workers give finishing touches to scooters in the assembly line. Since its inception in 2013, the company has grown to 16 cities and hopes to accelerate to 40 by the end of the year. Besides installing charging points at the homes of each customer, Aether is also putting them near supermarkets and cafes. Aether Energy's CEO Tarun Mehta tells me how it was crucial to prioritize this.
View always has been that infrastructure has to precede the product. It's a big enabler for consumers.
As the market grows, experts like Anumita Roy Chaudhary, the executive director of India's Centre for Science and Environment, says the government must pitch in as well.
We also need the government to build the whole battery ecosystem. Today, we are entirely import dependent.
I'm standing at an electric scooter charging point in India's capital city, Delhi. Here in the city, there are still very few electric vehicles visible on the roads. But in the next 4 years, the electric vehicle market is expected to be at around $7 billion. Electric vehicles are costlier, but experts say the cost of running an EV is much lower compared to petrol or diesel vehicles. And in a price-sensitive market like India, more competition could help bring costs down. In Delhi, I'm the BBC's Arunoday Mukherjee for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.